This podcast is brought to you by the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
Well, the discussion around immigration is becoming one with even more importance as we think about the growth of the U.S. economy in the future. Policy obviously plays a big role in that process, but companies can have an impact on that policy. A new paper takes a look at just how much. Britta Glennon is an assistant professor of management here at the Wharton School and author of the aforementioned paper. Britta, great to talk to you again. How are you today?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
Thank you. And so part of the focus here is really tied to the component of skilled immigration. And that's somewhat of a segment very important when you think about so many different areas of the U.S. economy.
Yeah, that's right. The economy is made up of course, both skilled and unskilled workers. And when we think about skilled immigrants, we should think about the tech sector in Silicon Valley or consulting, finance. Academia has lots of skilled immigrants as well. So these are kind of the big sectors in which skilled immigrants are playing a really big role.
So how do companies play an ever-important role in this process?
Yeah, so in the U.S., companies are actually central to the skilled immigration system. So companies, not individuals, are the ones who are actually applying for skilled immigration visas. Right? So they're the ones who submit the fees, the application, go through the entire process, and they're the ones who actually select the skilled immigrants to get those visas. And so companies, not the government, are actually the ones who are selecting which skilled immigrants can work in the U.S. So they're actually completely central to the system.
Can we estimate just how much a skilled immigrant can mean to the bottom line of a company?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is still a relatively new literature, and there's still more to learn. But one of the types of firms that we know have really large impacts in terms of hiring skilled immigrants is startups. So there's a couple of really nice papers, one in Management Science, one in the Journal of Financial Economics, both of which look at what happens when startups in the U.S. win the H-1B lottery. So H-1Bs are distributed according to this random lottery, and so some firms win, some firms don't. And they look at, what happens when startups randomly get additional H-1B workers through this lottery. And they find that when they win it, they are more likely to get additional venture capital funding. They have much better financial performance. They're more likely to have a successful exit via an IPO or an acquisition. And they also have more patent citations, which is kind of a measure of, the quality of these patents, right? So they have really huge impacts on whether these startups survive and how well that they do.
But then there are times when policy kind of gets in the way of that process. And so companies have to make several adjustments along the way. That obviously can have a bottom line impact as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So because of what I just stated, right, where the ability to hire skilled immigrants really affects a company's bottom line, right, how likely they are to survive, their performance, their innovation, when there's a restrictive immigration policy and they can't hire those immigrants, they have to kind of find an alternative, right? And so one alternative that I've documented in my own research is the option of offshoring. So if we look at multinational firms in particular, if they are unable to hire skilled immigrants in the U.S., I document that they'll actually just hire more workers at their foreign affiliates instead, right? So they'll offshore. They'll expand their foreign operations when they can't hire at home. And there's other alternatives too, right? So they might invest more in automation. They might engage in more partnerships and outsourcing. They might actually move to a country with less constraining immigration policies. And so there's, a lot of margins on which companies can adjust when these policies are really restrictive.
So that component of the other countries, let's touch on that for a second, because obviously we look at it, I think, in most instances of the skilled immigration coming to the U.S. and obviously having an impact positively here on a business, on the economy, et cetera. We don't necessarily consider the backside impact of that country losing that skilled component from their economy and the impact that it could have on that country or that business?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of the emphasis of this paper is really thinking about, you know, we often consider the impacts of skilled immigration policy as being limited within national borders, but actually the impacts can extend much beyond that. So if you think, you know, back to the paper of mine that I was just referencing, right, where multinational firms who can't hire skilled immigrants in the U.S. will simply hire foreign workers at their foreign affiliates instead, you know, that's going to have a big impact on those other countries, right? It means that that immigrant is not coming to the U.S., so we lose, you know, everything that they bring. And instead, other countries are getting those immigrants, and they are, you know, then going to benefit from, you know, the innovation and the investment that comes along with it. And so there is actually, you know, a strong sort of national competitiveness component to this that often isn't really talked about.
Do we have enough of an understanding, and it feels like in many cases we don't, of that potential impact of changing policy around immigration and the impact that it has, especially when you're talking about like skilled immigration, especially when you tighten some of the levels at which immigration is set here in the United States?
Yeah, so I mean, we know that, for instance, skilled immigrants are especially innovative. They're much more likely to generate patents. They're much more likely to generate startups than natives are. And it's not just that they themselves are more likely to, but they also have this strongly complementary effect. And so when there are more skilled immigrants around, Americans actually become much more innovative as well, right? And we think that that's because, you know, they're bringing all of these new ideas and knowledge and perspectives, and there's sort of a complementary set of skills, right? And so, you know, we have all of this strong evidence, like linking immigrants to innovation, to startup activity. And, you know, you can imagine that, of course, if those are then going to other places instead, right, that's really impacting like the geography of innovation around the world.
To what level are we seeing companies trying to have an impact on the policy side around immigration right now, knowing how important that immigration is going to be to the continued growth of our country?
Yeah, so, you know, this is an area where we actually don't have as much evidence as we'd like, right?
Right.
They, of course, have the option of lobbying, right? And from the couple of papers that do look at this, it does seem that lobbying does have some impact on skilled immigration policy. And certainly we see lots of, you know, tech companies trying to convince the U.S. government to allow more immigrants in, right? And we would expect that that's because they know how much of an impact they have on, you know, how successful these firms are. Now, one thing to note is that these are kind of concentrated. So, like, the largest firms are the ones who are most likely to lobby and also the most likely to sort of get these skilled immigrants. And so there might sort of be an effect in terms of the composition of the types of firms that get them, the types of firms that are successful in lobbying as well, which has its own set of implications as well.
With this work being done, is there a next logical step that you would like to take this research that you would like to delve further into?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, you know, many, many areas that this could be expanded on, but sort of two domains that I think are the most promising is, one is really understanding better the different margins of response that firms have for dealing with these policies, because I think in order to really understand the impact of these policies, we have to understand how firms respond, right? So we don't currently know, you know, how common outsourcing is or how common, you know, investing in automation is and things like that. And I think that that would really help us understand, you know, what is the welfare impact of policy changes. And I think the other area that we could really use more research on, and that, you know, I'm certainly interested in doing more research on, is really understanding the impact on, you know, the global geography of innovation, right? So,
right.
As I mentioned, you know, if you can't hire skilled immigrants here, a lot of firms are going to hire them elsewhere instead. We don't know exactly how much innovation shifts as a result of that, right? So how is that really changing the geography of innovation? And we also don't know how it affects, like, the quality of innovation. So there's some work showing that, you know, a lot of individuals who are in the U.S., because they're surrounded by kind of the right institutions and the right environment, they produce higher quality innovation here than they would in other countries. And so it might be not just that it's changing the geography of innovation, but also, like, the quality of that innovation. And I think there's not really any work showing, you know, just how big that impact could be as a result of these immigration constraints. So,
Britta,
yeah,
thank you very much for your time today. All the best.
All right. Thanks so much.
Britta Glennon, Assistant Professor of Management here at the Wharton School. To explore more content from the Wharton School, visit knowledge.wharton.upenn.edu.